Imagine yourself as a disease detective trying to stitch together clues about how illnesses like cancer and diabetes affect different ethnic groups. Well, that's our next story. We sat down with a French epidemiologist from the University of Hawaii's Medical School to talk about a research study that looks at groups here in Hawaii and in California, and it's been doing that for 2.5 decades. Among the many links it's made over the years, it's found that Native Hawaiians and African Americans are at higher risk for lung cancer due to smoking, and obesity raises your risk for cancer in certain ethnic groups. Loic Le Marchand tells us that study began in 1978 and will celebrate a milestone this weekend.
So we have 5 ethnic groups mainly. We have Japanese Americans, Native Hawaiians, and whites from Hawaii. And in California, we have African Americans and Latinos. And so we have collected information. So at study entry, we sent like a 26-page questionnaire. So quite long questionnaire, and we certainly appreciate all the effort that the participants have put into the study. And it was not just one baseline questionnaire, but they have filled out questionnaires every 5 years to update their information. And the kind of information we collected was mainly about diet. Something like 24 pages of the questionnaire were about diet, their dietary habits, about alcohol, smoking, physical activity, their occupational history, medical history, so any risk factors about lifestyle and medical condition that might increase risk of cancer as well as other chronic diseases.
And so you've been able to track these people over the decades here.
Yeah, we have been able to follow them, and actually the number of people who have dropped out that we could not find has been quite small, surprisingly. And it's because there's not much out-migration from Hawaii, or if it happens, it's often in California, so we were able to find them there. The way we keep in touch with them is that we send them newsletters every year, so we get change of addresses. We have linked a call to cancer registries as well, so we can identify who has developed cancer and who has not over the 25 years.
And you're going to be getting some of those participants together in one place.
Yes, so because it is the 25th anniversary, we are celebrating with a big event, and certainly for our standard, it's a big event. We'll have 500 participants coming on Saturday, September the 15th, between 9 and noon. The event is really to thank them. It's what we want to do. We never had a chance really to meet them. I mean, certainly the investigators, some of the staff members talk to them on the phone or even sometimes meet them. But we wanted to give the opportunity to the participants to come and talk to us. We'll have like an exhibit with some posters. We'll have many of the researchers working on the data are there, as well as the staff. And they will be able to ask us questions. So we're going to reverse the roles there. They will be able to ask us questions about what we are interested, what findings we have had, and I think it's going to be great.
But who are some of the oldest participants? I mean,
when they started 25 years ago, they were between age 45 and 75. So now they are quite old. We have about 200 centenarians in Hawaii and as many in California. So I think the median age, the average age, is about 77 right now.
Wow.
So yes, we have grown up with them.
Yes, grown up with them. I like that. Mm-hmm. And so will some be coming from California?
So we have a few investigators coming, not the participants, because we're not saying they would come. But we are looking at a way to do something similar. Our partner for this project is the University of Southern California, and we are trying to convince them to organize something too. Yeah.
So what's been the most gratifying thing for you, knowing that you've been able to track these people over this length of time and really get some detailed information about lifestyle and habits?
Well, personally, really is to see first, I mean, it's like seeing the community come together to do this study, because we have such a variety of different ethnic groups and age groups, and obviously both men and women, from neighbor islands, from Oahu, and they have kept with the study for 25 years, which is remarkable. We still have Participation rate about 70% for the questionnaires. So 70% of participants still answer our questionnaires and keep with the study. It's amazing compared to other populations, certainly. On the scientific level, I mean, I think we have made some good contributions in terms of diet and cancer. I think our findings really have been used in many countries to determine what is a healthy diet and how to prevent cancer, heart disease, diabetes. We have made contributions in the area of smoking, for example. We've shown that even for a given amount of smoking, let's say smoking one pack a day for 20 years, if you are native Hawaiian, your risk of lung cancer is much greater than if you are white, for example. And so we have been doing some studies specifically to try to understand that, and we see that, for example, the metabolism of nicotine, how fast we degrade nicotine in our system affects the way we smoke. And people who metabolize nicotine faster have a tendency to draw more on each cigarette, so they take on more carcinogens, and their risk is greater. So if you just ask them, how many cigarettes have you smoked, it's not enough to determine risk. You need really to test how fast they metabolize nicotine. So our next step now, for example, is to see if we can use that to help identify smokers at high risk for lung cancer. And then now that there's a screening test for lung cancer, with CT scan, send them for screening. So, I mean, we have really done a number of projects where we started from trying to understand differences in risk of cancer across the ethnic groups in our study, to understanding the biology behind it, and now translating that into a prevention message, be it what you would expect in terms of modifying your diet or increasing your exercise. But we're also able now to make recommendation for screening, identifying or quantifying risk of people for certain cancers.
So really, then you've been able to collect all these clues to kind of send researchers on these expeditions looking for answers.
Exactly. It's a kind of a detective work. And as when I talk to children, when they ask me what I do, I'm a health detective.
There you go.
I try to understand why disease occurs in some people more than others.
And what about, let's say, for other things that affect, let's say, the Pacific Island groups, you know, like diabetes? Have you folks been able to make some headway there?
Yeah, so many of those chronic conditions, heart disease, diabetes, and certain cancer like breast, colorectal cancer, have the same risk factors. So what we find for one disease often applies to the others. So the dietary guidelines made to the public, fortunately, have an impact on all of those diseases. But clearly the main issue with diabetes is obesity, and that's clearly a very significant issue in our population. We were able to contribute some data on that, which are actually quite remarkable in the sense that when you compare people of different ethnic groups with the same weight, when you have them have a scan to really measure fat tissue, you find that they are distributed differently. For example, Japanese Americans, Latinos, and Hawaiians have more of their fat intra-abdominally. And whereas African-Americans have more of their fat under the skin. And that has significance in terms of risk associated for metabolic disease. So if it's more intra-abdominally, your risk is greater for diabetes. So starting again from a difference across ethnic group, we try to understand the biology, and then we're trying to apply that for prevention.
I can see, though, when you have folks in this study that have kept with it, I guess the one really positive thing is that they're really doing, they're helping with the research that will maybe help their children and their grandchildren lead healthier lives.
True. I mean, it's an issue that we have with many of our studies is that people contribute their time, they give us some blood, some urine, and we don't have much to give them in return. Often they have cancers already or they are sick, and it's true our work is really for their descendants, for the community in general. and also for not just Hawaii, but other groups too. But because we focused on the ethnic groups of Hawaii, I mean, our findings are very pertinent to our population. And we think it's very important because it is likely that this specific research will not be done otherwise. You know, it's very difficult to get funded from the federal government, and we have been very fortunate to have been able to do that for 25 years, and to do that studying the local population, I think it's something we are very proud of, actually.
And how is the prospect for continued funding?
Well, we just renewed our grant last year for another 5 years, so we are doing well. But, you know, each time we have to renew our grants, and it comes back very often, every 4 or 5 years. But I think because we are contributing something which is quite unique, with this study using the same methodology across 5 ethnic groups, which are important in terms of minorities in the U.S., I think we have a good chance of getting funded. But on the other hand, the cohort is getting older, the numbers are decreasing. So at one time, I guess that might change, but I think I could, maybe not another 25 years, but I think another 10 or 15 years, certainly.
Yeah. Well, and folks might be wondering, you know, how is it that a researcher from France comes all the way over here and dedicates a lot of his life to finding out about these clues to our health?
Well, by accident, as many events in life happen. Actually, I was working as a physician in the South Pacific before I came here, and I came here, I was going to come to the university, which I did. I was supposed to do a master's in epidemiology, and I did that for a year, and I was supposed to leave and try to find a job with the WHO or any international organization, but I actually went to the cancer center. That was 35 years ago.
Wow.
To try to see if I could do a summer training, field training there. And I met with my mentor, Dr. Larry Colonel, which actually
yes.
will be at the event 25 years ago and actually is the person who started the multi-ethnic cohort study.
Oh, great.
So we'll be honoring him also on Saturday. He explained to me what he was doing, and I felt I was very, very intrigued. I was just 2 years out of medical school. I was told that cancer was one disease, and I had no idea that there were such differences in risk across ethnic groups. And I found that so interesting that I stayed on. I did a PhD, that then got my first grant, and then got the position on the cancer center, and from grant to grant, I've been here.
And you haven't left.
I haven't left.
Well, this will be a really incredible event on Saturday, and hopefully the weather cooperates.
Yes, that's our worry at this point, but we are remaining positive, and I'm sure we have spent 6 months organizing this event. It's going to be great.
That was epidemiologist Loic Lemarchand talking about Saturday's event that's expected to draw some 500 people. It's to mark the longest health disparity study undertaken by the University of Hawaii's Cancer Center.